All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, final segment of the night tonight. Again, always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they're going to handle your case 24/7, nights and weekends. Eric Goodman, Austin Chronicle, The Verde Report, does a great job of covering Austin FC, joins us now. And Eric, the word on the street is you were just in Colombia and you took in some games down there. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, that's right. Atletico Nacional in Medellin, one of the most successful, if not the most successful club in Colombia, went out, you know, just to be in that environment. And it kind of, you see where a lot of MLS fan bases have taken a lot of the inspiration. I mean, so many of the chants, you know, were familiar to me from Austin. But then on the field, it's a pretty amazing level when the players are not rolling around and trying to milk the referee, which probably happens more in Colombia than any country on earth. It is a pretty beautiful style of football. Nacional won 5-0. And then also kind of MLS related, you know, when I was traveling in the smallest town that we visited, in a regular, you know, shop clothing store, Inter Miami jerseys, Lionel Messi, are being sold, you know, in small towns in Colombia. The impact that he's had in MLS is, you know, it's breathtaking, because you would never see that, an MLS jersey being sold in Colombia of all places.
That is unbelievable. I think that's a great point about, you know, the rolling around and the simulation, because the definition of a foul in Colombia is very different than the definition of a foul in MLS. And I think that always becomes a challenge for these guys when adapting to Major League Soccer, especially with a pipeline the league has to Colombia.
Yeah, and you know, it's noticeable. Like, there's just multiple players going down at multiple times, and it's just a part of the game that, you know, I think we do an okay job of in the U.S. for the most part. But yeah, we get these players, and you know, they still try to make that, you know, incorporate that part into the game, and it does, it's not great.
Eric Goodman joining us, Austin Chronicle, Verde Report, fresh off of Colombia, coming on the program tonight, and has always added a lot here. All right, Austin FC, 9-13-6. They got 18 points available outside of the playoff line right now. How much tension, how much urgency, how much nervousness up in ATX right now?
Yeah, it's a discouraging, you know, is probably the word I would use, to discouraged. This team hasn't won a match in close to 2 months. I mean, you take, there's been a lot of off time. And when you get eliminated in the first two matches of the League's Cup, you do spend a lot of idle time, but it just, you know, speaks to the fact that it's been so long since this club was able to tap into any kind of excitement, draw any kind of inspiration. And then you look on the pitch and you say, you know, who on this roster is capable of igniting the kind of spark that this team would need to make a push into the playoffs? And you just don't see it. I mean, Sebastian Driussi, he does score, you know, to make it, you know, from a 2-0 loss to a 2-1 loss against Portland on Saturday, his ninth goal of the season, I believe. And you know, he is still someone who can provide a spark on any given night. But apart from him, there's nothing that Josh Wolf has been able to tap into with this team that makes you think that a playoff run is in there with them.
Talking to Eric Goodman. Eric, you know, when you talk about Sebastian Driussi, he was remarkable last year. For me, I know Hani Mukhtar got the MVP, I guess because I was watching him more. I was kind of leaning to Driussi because of the variety of things he did in the various thirds of the field. But have you seen any outward frustration from him? I mean, because this is a pretty significant 180 from what occurred last year to what's occurring this year.
You know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, he is the captain this year. So we do, you know, those of us who cover the team, we do get to see him a bit more. Last year when he was playing at his best, you know, he wasn't talking that much. So we didn't get to necessarily experience, you know, his personality as much when things are going well. You know, now that we do get to, you know, kind of interact with him when it's not going as well, I mean, you do see a player that you know, doesn't quite have the galvanizing personality that you would probably want in your captain. I mean, it does make sense why they gave him the captaincy. I think in a lot of teams, you know, Lionel Messi is the captain of Inter Miami, and you know, he's by no means a, you know, a rah-rah personality. You sometimes do just give it to your best player to lead by example. but it just hasn't worked. And the detriment that that decision may have had on somebody like Alex Ring, for example, who was the captain for the first 2 years of the club's existence, there just hasn't been a cohesive locker room. A word that last year you heard almost every week with the players was unity. And you just don't hear that as much this year. There's not that kind of, camaraderie and the belief, they might say so, but it doesn't feel like they mean it.
Yeah, unity's a lot easier to corral when you're winning games. That's for sure. So you led me beautifully into Alex Ring. I want to go back to him because he did not look like a happy footballer in the beginning of the year, having to drop the center back with all the problems there, the loss of Gabrielsen back to Europe. Is it notable that there's some headbutting there with the head coach, Josh Wolf, and Alex Ring? Because Alex Ring's such a key piece of this team and has been.
Well, a player that not one time this entire season has been made available to us to ask any questions to, which I think tells you all you need to know about, how he feels about his place in this team. You know, the last few weeks he's been given the opportunity to play back in that midfield, and he's just not the same player. I mean, when he was at his best as a defensive midfielder, year one and early year two of Austin FC and going back to his time at New York City, I mean, he was the kind of player that could stifle, an attack, could be a one-man, defensive stifling of an opposing counterattack. He does not seem to be that committed defensively right now. And then offensively, he is.
Now, wait, let me stop you there. Is that because you may see creeping in the shelf life of physical limitation? Is that part of it?
I think that is 100% part of it. And also, I'm not sure that he's, his effort is at the level that it should be. You just don't get the sense that he's as dialed in and as passionate about this club as he should be. And you can trace that back to being stripped of the captaincy and not having a defined role in this team. And then last, but also technically, I mean, the first goal against Portland in the last match, he has an opportunity to make a clearance. And instead of, he honestly could have let the ball, could have not touched the ball, let it go out for a throw-in or a goal kick, instead tries to intervene, puts it right back, into the path in front of goal, and it results in Portland's first goal. And it's not good enough for somebody who is technically one of these team's designated players, which is still, I think, again, an indication of how this roster is not constructed to be a competitive team in MLS right now.
Yeah, and Eric alluding there to the Mora goal in the 39th minute, Evander would hit in the 65th. Triussi would get a consolation goal in the 75th. Austin FC, predictably 66% of the possession, 21 crosses. There you go. Has Josh Wolf lost the team, you think?
He's lost. I mean,
we have to ask this question. It's a legitimate question.
You have to ask the question. And I look forward to asking him, something of that sort, but the players are just, don't seem to be, they seem to have lost themselves and each other. I mean, just the mistakes, the inability to finish goals. I mean, you think about what a manager can bring to a team in terms of, what his direct impact would be, putting his players in position to exploit, what the other team's trying to do, create opportunities. At a certain point, it's on the players to take advantage of these opportunities. And then also defensively, we mentioned the Ring mistake on the second goal. Leo Väisänen is in a great position marking his man and just misplays, misreads an incoming cross, jumps too early, misses it. And it's an unmarked open header. And that ends up deciding the match. I mean, these are things that would be really hard, really harsh to put right at the feet of Josh Wolf. But as you mentioned, I mean, he doesn't seem to have been able to tap into any kind of, emotional charge into these players. They're not playing like they're really concerned about the fate of their manager. You certainly don't see that kind of personality on the pitch. So I think, and Josh has never been that kind of, kind of manager. He's not been that kind of coach to try to, galvanize his group. He kind of lets the players be themselves. So it hasn't worked this year. The roster is not built to compete. I truly believe that. And And I think you did see last year what Josh Wolf can do as a manager when his team is constructed and his players are informed. But I mean, I think at this point, you know, the Wolf out movement has become a legitimate, you know, there's legitimacy to it now in a way that there wasn't, in my opinion, before, you know, around the midpoint of this season.
Yeah, year one, it was utter nonsense. Year two, I mean, the team hummed. But I think you remember me at the beginning of the year when you were on the show, The Horn, before, you know, The Horn disassembled. And we were doing Soccer Matters up in Austin, that I said, this will be a very different year with all the other competition. The other reason I said that, though, is certain guys are getting long in the tooth. The Maxi Arrutis, they're not long-term options for Austin FC. So maybe year two was the year you had to really peak and kind of go for it. I mean, it was a spectacular year. But I looked at the bench from the Portland game, and I just like, this is not deep enough. This bench is clearly not deep enough. And you wouldn't have said that the year before based on some of the players, because of maybe shelf life and things like that. I don't think the striker position has produced enough, obviously. You know, Diego Fagundes getting moved on and his contributions, his being a live wire.
But how about this one?
You know, Rigoni didn't really come through.
Exactly.
You lost Gabrielsen, who was really your true leader on the field outside of Alex Ring. So there's a lot of things you can kind of go to. But boy, I looked at that roster in the Portland game. I just said it's not enough there.
And how about this? In almost identical amounts of minutes played this season, Emiliano Rigoni, 4 goals, 3 assists. Jared Stroud of St. Louis, a player that Austin, you know, didn't even make an opportunity to bring him back into the fold. 4 goals and 4 assists in St. Louis. I mean, one of those players is a designated player making, you know, multiple millions of dollars. And one is Jared Stroud, who's probably close to, you know, league average, if not below, in what he's making. It's just, you know, that, and that's what I think is will be the most telling. I do think Josh Wolf will get and should get an opportunity to manage this team into the fourth season. And I expect that with Rodolfo Borrell, the sporting director who comes from Manchester City and from Liverpool and from Barcelona, I expect, and he's directly said this, there will be massive changeover in this offseason. And I think Josh Wolf deserves an opportunity to take a roster that's been more thought out. I mean, think about this. The sporting director coming into this season was Claudio Reyna, who not only got, you know, let go from the club during the
And these are a lot of his players, by the way. These are a lot of his players.
We
have to give accountability to where accountability lies. These are a lot of his players.
Yeah, it's not only in the aftermath of the World Cup when the whole, you know, controversy with the Reynas came out. Not only was he incapable of doing his job in that time, but recently we heard Josh Wolf allude to the fact that during that World Cup run, Claudio Reyna was so focused on Gio and on the World Cup that he was neglecting his responsibilities, is essentially what Josh Wolf told us about.
That's not surprising, having seen how the story unfolded, sadly.
100%. But it does. I mean, that's a tough thing for a manager and for a club to have to deal with when your top, architect of the roster is neglecting his responsibilities during the most important time period to do that job.
Yeah, that's sad. It's sad because the level of entrustment to him was, you know, big from Anthony Precourt, Andy Loughnane, and everybody. All right, I want to take you back to Rodolfo Borrell. He came in and right away said there were going to be changes. Right away said, some things that might not have been appealing to the everyday fan who wants a rosy green picture. What has he been like talking to the press? How much has he talked? And what else has he said outside of just there's going to be a lot of change?
We've gotten to speak with him twice. And both times he's been, really brutally honest and in I would say respectful of in a way that a lot of people that, and Glenn, you know this, you know, really well, in MLS, you know, there's not, you don't always get respect in the media as, you know, in terms of understanding of the game, in terms of, you know, oh, well, let me just say, you know, a generic response. Rodolfo Borrell will tell you exactly what he means. And I think Austin fans already appreciate that. I mean,
that's refreshing. That's refreshing.
It's refreshing. You're not going to have a lot of sporting directors tell your fan base straight up, hey, I think the team overachieved last year. I don't think we're as good as, you know, our results have shown. That's, like you said, that's not very appealing to most people, but it is when somebody
that doesn't follow the mantra and the ideology of, hey, everything is green or purple and it's perfect.
And that's what, you know, something that we get a lot from Josh Wolf, especially, you know, he struggles with the concept of having a lot of possession, creating a lot of chances, but not getting results. I mean, at a certain, there's only so much good you can have in a 2-1 loss, but Borel, you know, he will tell you, you know, he was very blunt about why they traded Diego Fagundes, who was the face of the team in this city. You know, if he felt like the contract was not a good contract for the club. And that was a player that they had an opportunity to move. I think, you know, in a way that there hasn't been those opportunities to move players like Rodney Redes, like Emiliano Rigoni, like potentially Alex Ring, who are players on big contracts that is kind of holding this team back. So you're going to see, I think, at least two of the three of those players out the door, along with Fagundes, at the end of this season. And then, you know, we'll see what vision Borel, you know, he has all of these connections in Europe. Can he bring, you know, somebody who has experience in the Premier League, somebody who has experience in La Liga? You know, will he bring a player that you know, those of us who are fans of the sport know well? You know, I've been telling, you know, Austin fans, this is just my own speculation, but, and it's probably not for this season, but maybe, you know, Mohamed Salah is a name to watch down the road as a player that's aging into that range that might be interested. I'm obviously, you know, the Saudis and that side of the world, you know, he is very appealing. You know, he appeals to them as well, but players like that, you know, that's what could be the impact that Rodolfo Borel could have. But he's got a lot of work.
That's also the impact Messi may have.
Exactly. It's the impact of Messi. It's the impact of where this league is going. And you don't want to over promise and under deliver, but Rodolfo Borel, you know, has connections that this league has rarely seen. But he's got a lot of work on his hands because this roster is not in condition to compete for any kind of the trophies that Austin wants to win.
I looked at that roster last night and all the problems and challenges this year, and the construction of it has to be questioned in recent times. All right, Anthony Precourt, Andy Lochnane, what have you heard for them? I mean, how much do they speak to the fan base, and what's the communication with them?
Very rarely. I mean, you'll get a tweet from Anthony Precourt once in a while. Andy Lochnane is somebody who I respect a lot. And I
like Andy a lot. I used to talk to him a lot and he'd come on the show a lot, but it's not anymore.
I personally don't know the extent of his involvement in on-field, matters. And I don't think there is very much of that. I think Andy.
Well, he did a great job though of helping get this thing off and running, Mike.
100%. I think when you think about the stadium, the game, the atmosphere, you know, where the direction of the club as an organization, I think
remarkable job.
Yeah. Remarkable. Really, really impressive. I think they nailed it on a lot of areas. And really, you know, there's when you bring something new into a community like Austin, that's very proud and very, defined, you know, not every new thing is going to jive with that, but I think the club did a really good job of gearing themselves to, you're going to play into some of the, you know, themes that you have here in Austin, but not overdo it and make it a forced, concept. So, I think Anthony Precourt is fortunate to have somebody like Andy Lochnane there to guide the direction of the club as a business. And now I do think, in a way that Claudio Reyna could never be, somebody who you can entrust in terms of Rodolfo Borel to lead this club on the pitch. And another interesting thing about Borel is at every opportunity he has backed Josh Wolf, and at every opportunity has said, Josh Wolf is one of the reasons why I took this job, because I have faith in this manager and I want to be able to provide him a team that Josh can take and use and fit his system and potentially take a team, you know, to contending for these trophies.
Eric, great stuff. I will say there should be optimism and excitement around potential change here. I really think so. It means somebody's leaping into action and doing something about it. And one of those things is the hiring of Rodolfo Borrell. So listen, thanks very much. Welcome back from Columbia. I'll see you Thursday, Longhorn Network. It's the Longhorns Texas Tech at Mike A. Myers. I'll see you there, Eric.
And, yeah, can't wait.
I got the call of that game with Michael LaHood. We're going to have a lot of fun up in Austin on Thursday.
Is that going to be your first time with LaHood?
No. I've done a number of college games.
Right. Well, can't wait for that.
With Michael. Yeah, I'm sure you're going to lose sleep over. All right, Eric, thank you so much for coming on again, as always.
Take care, Glenn.
All right, Eric Goodman. Excellent stuff. Austin Chronicle, Verde Report. That does it tonight for us on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. I remind you about John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. Subscribe to the podcast, Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you get it. Don't forget about LamontBrands.com for your Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats. The proceeds go to the 501c charity, Snowdrop Foundation for Pediatric Cancer. And that does it for us tonight. Until next Tuesday night, remember, soccer matters.